You are not going to believe this. Someone wrote in a comment section for one of my presentations that Erica Kirk was a member of WEF. Well, I did a search and I thought it was more likely her mother might have been or had done presentations, and those results turned up negative. But I found something, and I've seen reports on the periphery of what I'm going to tell you. But I found something and I took the problem to Grok. I said, Grok, tell me. Now, let me tell you something. I firmly believe Grok protects the liberal slant. I have personal experience with that over and over and over. Yet Grok indicates some very interesting things about Mrs. Erica Kirk when she was operating under her maiden name. And it would appear that November Renaissance, that movie that was never released that she starred in, is not the only video production. And this video production has a very interesting background for the fort she never attended and for people who we know were there. This is a holy you-know-what moment, and this suggests strongly there is a lot more to Erica Kirk than a grieving widow, a beauty contestant, a talent consultant and developer. It looks like she's a whole lot more than that. And we have a right to know because I pay more tax because TPUSA gets tax deductions. And I told you early on, as I started to investigate this, I said, I've done this work a long time, and I'm getting the feeling this is a psyop and with intelligence-related goals. And those instincts look like they're probably correct. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. I've looked over some of the communications that have gone to my associates at Iron Hawk Financial. This is really interesting. There are quite a few people out there that have come into money through inheritance, through having to cash out of various things, like taking your minimal distribution for an IRA when you get to be 73. And they're looking for what to do with the money. And they're really intrigued by what Joe Lombardi is offering, which is also long-term healthcare related investments in yourself, healthcare, but also too, setting up income development streams that are, I'm not going to say tax-free, but greatly reduced taxes, and it's all legal and above board. And until recently, only the rich got to do this. Now it's open to you. So if you have money, a decent-sized sum of money, and you're looking to do something with it, you should check out this opportunity. All you have to do is go to DH, it's Dave Hodges, DH Hawk, Hawk, DH Hawk, .com and fill out the interest form. And trust me, it's no pressure because they've got more business than they can handle from people that have come into money. Okay, I'm going to show you what I found on Grok. And I think you're going to find this to be very interesting. I'm going to start from the beginning and show you some of the questions that I asked. Because clearly the defenders of TPUSA say you should ask no questions. They're going to make up all kinds of stuff, said I'm obfuscating the facts. I just did an honest search just based on what I was told that Erica was involved in the WEF. And I thought, well, probably a WEF Young Global Leaders Program. Hey, Tulsi Gabbard was in that. And listen, can anyone argue with the job that she did in the campaign of 2024? And I think she's doing a good job as she's allowed to in her director of DNI. Okay. I asked this, did Erica Kirk ever attend a meeting at the World Economic Forum? And answer, no evidence. Did Erica Kirk or her mother, Lori, ever go to the World Economic Forum for any year, not just 2026? No, there's no evidence. Okay, so I'm trying to go through, and I asked about Young Global Leaders Program, and I get a full description of what it is, yada, yada, yada. And they go through here and they list important members. Oh, look at this. Justin Trudeau, Macron, Ardern, that's New Zealand, Marin, Vladimir Putin, who's totally rejected him, believe me, Angela Merkel, and Pete, I can't fix a pothole, Buttigieg. Okay, now, enough of that. They go through what it's all about, criticisms and controversies. I don't care about that. Okay. Now, didn't Lori make an EMP presentation at WEF or WEF related interests? I had information that she had. It looks like it's not accurate. Okay. So they go through exactly what her work is. Her work's important. I hope as a nation we're on top of the EMP because that could ruin our life if we're not controlling that variable. Okay, now, 2014 EMP presentation, Lori of GTEC and blah, blah, blah. Okay, delivered a PowerPoint on EMP during a meeting of the Arizona House Representatives Committee on Public Safety, Military and Regulatory Affairs. And it was part of Senate Bill 1476 to enhance EMP preparedness in Arizona. Because I'll tell you, a localized North Korean manufactured EMP device brought down the F-16 of General Hassan back in 2015. And we've covered that here on this channel. This is not a standalone event, but integrated in the committee's agenda where this topic was reported on. So this is a big deal. I mean, there's some prominent people. Larry Gunto, ooh, his name that's been around here. We're not going to get into that now. Okay, there's the bill title, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so Erica, our mother, Lori, inserted herself into Arizona politics, but I look at it in a positive manner. Okay, so I'm just showing you this as a matter of being transparent. So the blind supporters of TPUSA, don't you dare ask any questions about them. We'll say I'm obfuscating the facts. I'm just taking you through what my thinking was on the search and what I found. Okay. Now, I said there is a video, and I've shown this here on our channel, 2015 Erica presentation on EMP. Yes, there's video footage around 2015 featuring Erica and her maiden name, and it appeared in the documentary Black Start, okay, with release dates. There we go. And in related interviews on our show, Millennials Rock, the content focused on EMP vulnerabilities, solar flares, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, the content focused on grid vulnerabilities. And look at this. Look at this. She was alongside, this is notable, Dr. Peter Fry and CIA Director James Woolsey. Whoa. Oh, so she's rubbing elbows with the CIA, but I am getting the feeling she did more than rub elbows. So we're going to move along here and go to what I really want you to see. Okay, continuing on, and again, Black Start. Wow. This is something maybe I should mention here as a byproduct. It's a warning that 90% of Americans could die from starvation, disease, or chaos in a year-long outage. Yeah, and you know where we'd have to get the generators from? China. How do I know that? Because I've been to some of these presentations. Okay, interviews on Millennials Rock. Well, Erica took parts of this, probably the non-classified parts, and put it up on a show that she was hosting. The backdrop includes Wake Up America branding and segments referencing her family's involvement in EMP hardened tech. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, but it just shows you Erica was involved in her mother's EMP business. And Woolsey, and pry? Sharing presentation duties? Wow. Okay, now, continuing on. If you want to see this, and by the way, parts of it are missing, and I'm sure it's classified parts. Erica Kirk, Black Start EMP, full documentary is freely available. As described, it's partially lost. A trailer is on IMDb, so they're hiding it, okay? There's no question they're hiding it, okay? Here's something I'll just note, and I'm not taking a position on this. Some view this as a legitimate education on real threats by other fuel conspiracy theories about CIA ties. Clearly, when you're doing the work the mother's doing, she's got connections with the CIA. Whether she's a contract agent or not is irrelevant. Their CIA involvement, it would be foolish for the CIA not to be involved. And it's naive for TPUSA and supporters to try to deny any of this. Okay, now, where was Black Start filmed at? I think I know, based on what I've seen, and I have said what my opinion was. Let's see what AI tells me. No official filming locations are listed for the documentary. Do you find that unusual? I find it highly unusual. I am very suspicious. And of course, you know, losing, look at this, partially lost production. Hey, partially lost, it's censored. Okay? They don't have detailed credits on platforms like IMDb. Okay? That's censoring. Okay? And based on the analysis of clips, production, and discussions, okay, the film incorporates footage from various U.S. sites with, okay, wait for it. Are you ready? With indications of connections to Arizona, including Fort Huachuca, Fort Hukawawa, Andrew Colvin. We never heard of a fort. She's never been to a fort. I told you when I showed you that 2015 clip of Erica's presentation, at least what's available, I said, I think this is Fort Huachuca. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, here we go. Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Multiple sources and visual cues were filmed at or near this U.S. Army base in Sierra Vista, Arizona, which specializes in military intelligence, EMP testing, network security, and Erica is shown presenting in what appears to be a briefing in control rooms with military-style equipment and outdoor industrial features, desert landscapes, and mountains consistent with the area's terrain. Her family's companies have documented ties to DOD EMP work related at the base, Fort Huachuca. And since she's presenting for Fort Huachuca for her mother, okay, come on. Really? NSA is huge, by the way, there. I don't see her mother being NSA-related, but I do see her being CIA-related, as is Erica. Okay, now, with some discussions, confuse this unreleased with November Renaissance. There are two different productions, folks. It's not one video, November Renaissance and all the mind control that's in that movie that was never released. And I haven't gone through the mind control yet. I just haven't had time. I will make time now that I found this. Okay, so this is just bizarre. Arizona, indoor scenes such as Erica's presentations with projection screens and stock industrial footage, power substations amid arid mountainous backdrops point to southern Arizona settings that ties in to Erica's family local business operations in network security and EMP tech. And they go through here and they offer more. Okay, like here. Interviews with experts like CIA Director James Woolsey. You know, hey, James, Dave Hodges here, The Common Sense Show. I want to interview you from a CIA perspective on EMP. Can I get you on record? Do you think I would even know where to send this? Do you think there'd be a remote chance in hell he'd even respond? But Erica is on tape with him. Okay. Jeanine Pirro, by the way. Okay, exactly. Conference and hearing rooms, they go through what it looks like. Stock and archival footage looks like it's Fort Huachuca. Okay. And it basically says right here that has amplified all this evidence has amplified speculation about Fort Huachuca. No, listen, there's nothing illegal about this. But it's, in my opinion, Erica's other life. What? You heard me. Erica's other life. And what's interesting here, I'm wondering too, her comment about dating. It might be more than just trying to present a persona that we know didn't exist. I didn't date during 2013, 2018. I didn't drink. Okay. I think there might be an additional reason here. This falls in that movie that she falls in to this time frame. She doesn't want to call attention to this area. Just said there's nothing there. I didn't date. There was nothing to it. I just saw my cousin going off on the wrong path, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I think it's just, hey, let's not look at this. Next question, please. Now, here's another reason why this is important to me. Hear me and hear me clearly. If you had Brian Harpole, head of security, Charlie's replacement now on the tour, Cabot Phillips, Erica's ex-boyfriend, and there's no question about that, and Erica at the base in the period of time, either part or in whole, September 8th and 9th, 1 and 2 days before Charlie's death, and we're in a very secure military slash intelligence facility. Do you not think this should raise questions and suspicions, and the denials that we get don't cover the bases? And that's not my judgment. That's the judgment of my colleagues who have just torn this apart from stem to stern. And then, of course, we've caught them in so many misstatements, in my opinion. It just, there's more to Erica now. This is where I want to step back. And people say, well, what about the Harvest House, Dave? Is this related? Someone's actually asked me that. And I don't know what they knew when they asked me the question in writing. I really had no idea. I thought, boy, we're really kind of grasping at straws here. But now that I look at it, Greg Laurie, for actions related to alleged actions and legal action related to little ones in Romania, and he's innocent until proven guilty. And Erica was in Romania, and TPUSA said, you shouldn't ask any questions. Erica, like I said, she could be innocent, and there's nothing to this. But why do these dots keep connecting? This isn't paranoid inference. I wasn't looking for this. This landed in my lap. And again, I want to remind everybody, I called for leaving Erica Kirk totally alone, even when I know TPUSA was full of crap and not pressing the FBI on their shoddy and illegitimate investigation. And what do I mean by illegitimate? Under the 10th Amendment, unless there's federal reasons to be there, interstate crime, federal officials victimized. Charlie was not a federal official. He was a federal ally and supporter, but not an official. This was totally a local and state matter in Utah. So why did the FBI get to come in and do a horse crap investigation? And TPUSA is just fine with that. We got the guy. And, all the problems with the forensics that we've talked about. And then Erica not only was in Romania, and like I said, it could be completely innocent, but we're running parallel paths here with people who are, shall we say, interesting and have been accused of things. And then I really wonder what she was doing in China. I know what she said, but if you lie about 5 years of your dating past, I think Ronald Reagan's quote comes into play here. Trust, but verify. Now, why is this important in the overall scheme of things? Is just sensationalism to draw people to my work? No. TPUSA is taking my tax money, and they're using it in ways that I don't like. And I think they're employing, and I think there's a good chance, in my opinion, that they're employing techniques, strategies, and they employ people from various backgrounds that I don't want leading an institution, organization that's trying to influence the young. I don't want this. And I'm going to say this too, as I've put together a timeline. Separate apart from Erica's alleged Fort Huachuca involvement with Dark Skies is timing. Charlie ordered a doge, whatever you want to call it. Three of the four provisions as outlined by the lawyer in his cease and desist letter to Zach DiGregorio talked about reviewing finances. Okay, well, in layman's terms, we call that an audit. They can call it an effort. We can call it a playground activity for all I care. But we know Charlie was looking at money. And TPUSA's lawyer admitted it. And Charlie replaced Tyler Boyer, who's been the subject of a lot of investigation from Zach DiGregorio, and I think there's a lot of smoke there. And Charlie removed him on September the 2nd, calling for an audit at that time. I don't believe it's likely those two events are unrelated. And if they are, that still needs to be looked at. And then Charlie is dead 8 days later. We can't make a direct inference from September 2nd to September 10th. But if we were homicide investigators, do you think that would at least get looked at? And then all the stuff that we've talked about with the life insurance policy, do you think that that would get looked at as well? Because we've been through that in detail. So what we're saying is we expect a closer examination of the people at TPUSA and their practices. Are they operating above board? Are they legal? If they're not true to Charlie's mission, there's not much we can do about that. If they're not. If they want to take the institution in the direction of America's Not First, even though our bylaws say it, oh, wait a minute. Holy crap. If your bylaws state patriotism, American exceptionalism, America first, and you're allowing your donors to chart a different course, and I realize this is arguable, that's a violation of their charter, or at least a potential violation of the charter. So from my perspective, there's another red flag that just popped up right there as I was doing this on something entirely different. I want full transparency. And I know it's not going to come from TPUSA, because if it was, you know, since I have a podcast that's ranked in the top 5% of the world of 3.5 million podcasts ranked by Listen Notes, you people at TPUSA take me up on my offer to come on my show and address these points. You'd want to clean this up, because right now you just lost 160,000 people following Erica Kirk on Instagram. You got cracks in your institution now, and we're not responsible. We're asking questions. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. My invitation for TPUSA to come in and right the ship. And I wish they'd make me so convinced I'd still want to go back to backing them. That's it. We'll see you back here later. Joe Kent. We're going to talk about this man. Some of you may not recognize his name or have associated with him with an important position. I have spoken about him before with regard to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And this man occupied one of the most sensitive positions in the United States government. This man is the most loyal American I could point to. This man cares about you. And this man can no longer work for this government. And we're going to talk about why, and why you should be thoroughly disgusted, upset, and demanding change. And I'm going to say this right off the top. I support almost everything President Trump has done until this situation with Iran. And before that, the Charlie Kirk situation. And this is really tragic. You're going to really have your eyes opened if you've not been following this. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really good to be with you. We know we go out to a lot of different countries, and I appreciate all of you so much. I get communications from people in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, the UK, Canada. God bless all of you. I know our governments have kind of gone divergent ways, but that shouldn't separate us from having respect and appreciation for each other. And I do. I appreciate each and every one of you that follow our show. And I do really respect the fact that you care enough to follow the show and reach out and make your voice heard. Freedom is a universal thing. It's a gift from God. You know what the ultimate freedom is? Before I launch into Joe Kent, the ultimate freedom is this, coming from the Lord. You have the right. He gives you the right. The Lord gives you the right to choose Jesus or not to choose Jesus. The implications are unmatched. But we get that choice. That's true freedom. So when Thomas Jefferson said that freedom isn't granted by government, it's granted by God, and Thomas Locke said it before him, they're absolutely correct. So you people who communicate with me from other countries, you are absolutely on the same side as we are. And what stands in our way are the corrupt people that are attracted to government because of the power and the money that they're able to get from their pretend service to humanity. And every now and then we get a really good public servant like a Tulsi Gabbard, her top aide, Joe Kent, and we're lucky. But more than not, people like Joe Kent get smashed like a bug on the windshield. And that's what just happened. We're going to tell you all about it. By the way, I'm sure Charlie is shedding a tear in heaven today because of what happened to Joe Kent. And I'll explain that too. We are brought to you by the best product for immune system building that's out there. It took me when I had pneumonia plus RSV with strip lung linings that are not coming back, Dave. Sorry, so sorry for you. And this product right here, the Nanosoma Liquid Spray, brought me back. It doesn't cure anything. You're saying, well, then why are you selling it? Why are you representing this? Because it boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. And since I've been taking this too, when I come down with a little nagging colds or I get something, my duration of being sick is minuscule compared to what it would normally be. You can have this same benefit for your health by going to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Joe Kent, he asked Kash Patel This is about the Charlie Kirk situation. You go, oh, Dave, I remember you covered that. Yes. He asked Kash Patel, I want information on potential foreign actors who may have had something to do with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Kash Patel said, get out of here. Now, wait a minute. Joe Kent is the director. The director of counterterrorism. That's a huge position. That makes him the direct deputy of Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, who I predict will be the next one to walk out the door. So they had a meeting at Tulsi Gabbard's insistence, because Joe was telling Tulsi, hey, let me tell you something, Tulsi. Israel's involved. And I'm not going public with that, but I am going to go public with the fact that I'm being denied information, and it leaked. And I'm sure the leak came from Joe's office. And it should have. Because if I'm worth anything as a journalist and an analyst, I'm telling you, Israel had something to do with this. They certainly benefited from Charlie's death. And that does make you a suspect. But it goes even further than that. And Joe knew it. So they had a meeting. Kash Patel, Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard. And why this person was in the meeting is amazing to me. Susie Wiles, Chief of Staff to President Trump. She shouldn't be involved in something like this. This is out of her ballpark. But she was there. And the reason she was there is because Israel was the prime suspect in Joe's mind. And Susie Wiles was there to protect Israeli interests. You say, Dave, wait a minute, she works for Trump. Yes. But that's not who she's loyal to. She's loyal to Israel. I don't need to go any further than make this one statement. She headed up Netanyahu's 2023 campaign for prime minister. Do I need to say any more? Well, Joe had satisfactory evidence that he said, we got to look at these foreign actors. And they told him, go pound sand. We're not giving you anything. Wait a minute. If the director of counterterrorism says there's a problem with the murder of a prominent American figure on American soil, and I want to look at the foreign interests, and he was denied. This shows you how far Israel controls our government. And the fact that Susie Wiles, the ultimate Zionist, is in her position should concern everybody. Oh, here comes the anti-Semite comments. No, no. I don't care if these interests had been with the UK or Canada or New Zealand and Australia. Countries that I have overall respect for. I don't care. They have no business. These foreign interests have no business inside of our government. And especially interfering with a major political assassination case. But this is exactly what happened. And Joe Kent was disgusted. I'm surprised he didn't walk then. Well, he walked yesterday. And he didn't leave over the Charlie Kirk issue, but I guarantee you this was a critical factor in his departure. Now, what happened yesterday? Joe wrote a letter to President Trump. And Joe said, I can no longer serve in this administration. It's been my great honor. I've supported President Trump through three elections, as has Dave Hodges and as many of you. And I can no longer serve in this administration because we went to war for no valid reason other than to support Israeli interests. And he was that blunt about it. Now, you may have heard about this, but what's not being connected, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't heard anybody connect it, not even Tucker. And listen, I support Tucker. I think he does a great job. But Tucker didn't even connect Joe Kent, Charlie Kirk, to Joe Kent concerns about Zionism pulling us into a war. And he directly names Israel for pulling us into a war that only benefits them. So how did President Trump respond? Oh, I think he's a nice guy, but he's weak. Yeah, he got that position because he's weak. And President Trump, you approved that appointment because he was weak? Really? If he was weak, why didn't you fire him rather than him calling your administration out for what happened? And let's just be really clear, since it's already facts on the record. We went to war because Jared Kushner, in partnership with Israel and the cleaning out of Gaza for their little real estate project, that will bring a total of $8 billion to Jared Kushner and an untold amount of money to real estate investor and personal envoy to President Trump, Stephen Witkoff. And he said, we got to go to war because if we don't go to war, we're going to be attacked by Israel. Why? Or by Iran, excuse me, because Israel is going to attack Iran. Right there, when that statement was made by Secretary of State Rubio, publicly and in front of the cameras, that was still saying the same thing. We went to war because Israel was going to go to war. It's that simple. And here was a man that was principled enough to say, well, we don't need to be in a war that's not in our interest. And by the way, he said this in his letter of resignation. President Trump, you campaigned on the notion of not getting into wars of occupation and wars that don't benefit American interests. This doesn't benefit American interests. Don't give me they'll have the nuclear weapon in 2 weeks. And if that was the case, then why weren't you doing this 6 months ago? Or when you dropped the bombs in June of 2025, why didn't you go in then? Oh, we're going to cover this next because we are going into Iran with ground troops. Oh, it's proven, folks. It's proven. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of a couple, 3 weeks. So anyway, Joe Kent's gone. President Trump is insulting him. I can absolutely guarantee you Tulsi Gabbard is next. She's had enough. She's had enough, I'm sure. Now, let me tell you something about Joe Kent, the man that President Trump insulted as being weak. He was deployed to combat theaters 11 times. This is where he met his wife. And it's hard to tell this story without tearing up. They fell in love. They got married. She was also deployed to combat. She was killed in a terrorist attack after she had given birth to their children. Joe Kent's a gold star husband. And he's called weak. He had 11 deployments to combat zones. And Trump calls him weak. Joe Kent knew what Israel did on September 10th, 2025. And he was denied the right to find Charlie justice. I interviewed Charlie's speechwriter for many years this week. And it was really interesting what came out. He said, there is no conspiracy to kill Charlie Kirk. Because I went after the investigation. I said, they lost me at the 30-odd-6, covering up the evidence after 48 hours, blah, blah, blah. He wouldn't argue the facts. Well, that means that President Trump had to be involved. You know, I don't know the circumstances there. Okay? What I do know is the actions of Trump through Cash Patel and Dan Bongino serve to cover up the true facts of the story. Not even giving evidence for examination to the director of counterterrorism to protect Israel. And I said before, and I was told, Dave, you've worded it too strongly. I said, Israel's colonized this country. All but 39 senators and congressmen take money from Jewish lobbying interests, primarily AIPAC, which is the only foreign lobbying group that doesn't have to register under FARA. How does that happen? See, if they registered under FARA, they'd get analyzed every year. So they're above scrutiny. In other words, people, Israel's above the law in this country. And what I'm going to continue to call out is this. Okay? But I'm going to give a precursor again. I hate saying it because it sounds so trite. Have I ever had Jewish friends? Yes. As a senior in high school, I dated a Jewish girl. Caused some repercussions in my private circle, but I did. Oh, and my dad's side of the family, I'm the son of an immigrant. From where? Germany. And do we have Jewish people in our background? Yes. Some of them didn't get out. And as a young high school teacher, I was so abhorred by the Holocaust, we used to have survivors of the Holocaust that would come and speak to my history classes. And they came out of Sun City, a retirement area in Arizona, and they had the tattoos. And my students were transfixed at the stories of horror. But because I dare to say that a foreign government doesn't have right to dictate to my government anything, I'm called anti-Semitic. No, I'm America first. And I have said I value our relationship with Israel. They are a needed defense partner in the Middle East for a variety of reasons and have served that valuable role through the Cold War. Otherwise, Russia would have grabbed the Middle East supplies. The Soviet Union would have been there in 24 hours, and we could have done nothing about it, and neither could have the Arab states. So, when we take a look at this, and these people think that they can conflate political criticism of undue influence on our government with attacking Jewish people, Jewish culture, and the right for Israel to exist is total bullshit. And that argument needs to fall apart now. Because this is the theme used to justify the war that's going to send your children, or your grandchildren, or your nieces and nephews to die for the nation of Israel with boots on the ground. That's a fact. And I'm offended that President Trump would take a man whose service included 11 combat deployments and lost his wife in one of the deployments to where he became a single father. I am furious. I have two contentions with President Trump after supporting him since he came down the elevator. I looked at it, I said, I don't think he has a snowball's chance in hell, but I sure like what he's saying. That was 10 years ago. Three elections. Being called every name in the book because I couldn't take any more establishment, deep state controlled presidents. But the handling of the Charlie Kirk murder, the man who handed the presidency to the man that's in the Oval Office right now, and we can't even look at who really killed him. We will deny the evidence to people doing the investigation like Joe Kent. And now what's about ready to happen. I reported this yesterday. Stu Peters was all over this on X. Stu, good job on that. We don't care about boots on the ground or this becoming Vietnam, which is what Trump said in a press conference in the Oval Office yesterday. I played it for you. Is this what you want? Is this what you want? And what's concerning, and what I don't know the answer to, is what's the digital crowd's reaction to this? And I'm talking about people like Peter Thiel, whose puppet is J.D. Vance and always has been. So I look at this, ladies and gentlemen, and what I'm saying to you right now is we have lost our government to a foreign government. And What really becomes offensive to me as a Christian is this. My covenant with the Lord and the covenant of all humanity, both saved and unsaved, is the life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent here to die for our sins. All we have to do is confess, try to follow, do the best we can do, and repent. And the rest is what God tried to accomplish in the first covenant with Abraham. And as I covered before, the satanic entities of Baal, Moloch, and Asherah, all in the Bible, repeatedly, showed how the ancient Jews struggled with the same things we're struggling with today. We're no better or no worse than those people. So much for anti-Semitic comments, right? But it did not allow the fulfillment of the first covenant. And before the Lord was going to say, hey, I'm going to wipe this out with a flood, for he would come up with another measure to destroy humanity, because they couldn't be saved, he sent Jesus. But the Zionist crowd, the Ted Cruz, the Mark Levins, these people are telling me, if you don't do what Netanyahu says, because of Genesis 12:3, the first covenant that the failure of necessitated the presence of Jesus, if you don't do that, well, then you're not a Christian. They are directly intervening in my faith. And they are trying to minimize the importance of Jesus. And I will not accept that. I will not accept that. Have I turned on Israel? No, I've turned on Netanyahu, who's one of the most evil leaders ever. You know, I've found it interesting, and I even said this. I've never supported the Palestinians. Hamas, if I was Palestinian, I would leave. I'd have done something different. If Palestine, let's put it this way. If the Hamas entities were controlling America, I would leave. So I never supported the Palestinians. And I understand the Jewish government's concern and the Jewish people's concern for these neighbors who are always seeking to kill Jewish people. Is that all of Palestine? No. And it sure as hell wasn't the kids. Yet, in the 12-day war, schools were bombed, hospitals were bombed, and here's a man that heads a nation whose ancestors went through the greatest, most horrific treatment ever in history with the Holocaust. And he goes and commits the same thing in Gaza. 20,000 children estimated killed intentionally. Does that implicate the Jewish people? No. In fact, many of the Jews don't want this war any more than I do. How do I know? They've told me. You don't think I know Jewish people? I don't have relationships with Jewish people? You don't think I see what's happening inside of Israel? As Charlie Kirk said definitively on the Patrick Ben David show, if the 12-day war hadn't happened when it had, Israel was flirting with civil war. The people had had it with Netanyahu. That's why he did the war. Nothing like a war to shut people up. Only thing is, it's backfiring on President Trump. When your motives no longer serve your country, the people are upset. Now, one thing I would say to this administration, if we are indeed approaching, and these are precursor events to the tribulation, and I don't know that they are, but they could be. The Bible clearly says in the end days, the sins of the leaders will find them out. This administration is living with this now, the same as Netanyahu's administration, where 100,000 Jewish people have left. And you say, well, it doesn't sound like a whole lot. We've got a population of 9 million people. That's a significant departure of Jewish people. But when I'm a politician, like Cornyn from Texas, and I take $4.5 million from the Jewish lobby, how can I trust that you're representing America first? I can't. And I don't. And all the people that take donations from foreign governments, regardless of what that government is, I no longer trust them. Do you see why I made this an issue and I started talking about this 2 years ago? I said, we need to outlaw all foreign lobbying. Plain and simple, pay the money back. People said, well, I don't think that's a big deal. All but 39 senators and congressmen are on the payroll of Jewish lobbying interests from Israel. This is where people, we need to decide, are we America or are we the United States of the IDF? That's what we have to decide. So let's look at what this has cost us. On one hand, we lost a great American hero who could have very well been a future president, and that's Charlie Kirk. People were already talking about that when he was 26 years old. So he's got to wait almost 10 years, but that's presidential material there. You know what's interesting? And I'll tell you who he reminds me of in many, many ways. And I'm speaking politically. A brilliant mind, uncompromising principles towards the welfare of our government, the willingness to stand up to tyranny, which Charlie did on the Patrick Ben David show against Netanyahu and the genocide in Gaza. It was John Kennedy. John Kennedy didn't give in to the Federal Reserve. He wasn't given the deep state of the day, the Vietnam War, so the military-industrial complex could make more money than the Lord. And all a bunch of other reasons, too. Said no to the oil companies on the oil depletion allowance. And Charlie said no to Netanyahu's $150 million. To bribe him. The Jewish donors were backing off. They hammered him in a meeting in the Hamptons, led Charlie to tell people who I've talked to, I think they might kill me. He was legitimately concerned. But of course, Erica never talks about that. But the people around Charlie at the time do talk about that. But I will tell you this, they are afraid. I have been approached from people in Arizona political circles, and the number is growing by the day since I've talked about this. And no, I'm not going to identify them because they're afraid. Two people actually wrote me a 3-page letter and wouldn't even sign their name to the letter. That's how much fear this pro-Netanyahu group is. I wouldn't even call them pro-Israel. They're pro-Netanyahu. Because Netanyahu is not helping his nation with this war. This is his grandiose notion. I've dreamed 40 years of attacking Iran. And he needed America and our money to do it. I'm going to leave you with a final thought. Today, for the umpteenth day in a row, you're going to hear Trump, Rubio, and all the rest of them say, we're smashing Iran. I don't know how devastating it is. We're winning the war. Well, I do know that's a lie. Because the Strait of Hormuz is closed. And our European allies in NATO gave us the big middle finger. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.